This is Arthur Morgan. Wait, what am I doing?
Just speak into the microphone.
This is a what?
It's a microphone.
A microphone?
No, just read the script for the podcast.
What's a podcast?
It's just an entertainment show. Please read the script.
Okay, fine. You're listening to the Game Fix Show, whatever that is.
Hi, this is John St. John. Yes, I'm the voice of Duke Nukem.
Hey, what's up? This is Dave Fennoy.
Hey, this is Big Joseph from WWE.
This is Master Daniel Pacina.
I only listen to one show. That's the Game Fix Show.
Welcome to Game Fix Podcast.
And you're listening to the Game Fix Show.
I'm here to kick ass and listen to the Game Fix Podcast. And this time I'm all out of asses.
All right, partner. You know what time it is.
Let's go crazy! Go crazy!
Of the Game Fix Podcast. I am Spanish.
And I am Verlaine. Make sure to check out our website, gamefixshow.com, and our weekly stream of our weekly recorded podcast right here. If you are not, facebook.com/gamefixshow.
You can actually follow us on our social medias. The easiest way to find those social medias that I just mentioned are actually on our website. You could just do that real quick. Gamefixshow.com in the top right-hand corner there, you'll see four different links for our social medias, which include, Verlaine actually already mentioned Facebook. So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also subscribe to us on our YouTube page. So, yeah, we have videos. What? We have videos. We also have a Patreon page where you can view and you can actually support the show. Verlaine, tell them how they can support it and what they can get with that.
You just have to go to patreon.com/gamefixshow, or you can go to our website, gamefixshow.com, and click on the animated GIF. Pretty much, you are going to be monetarily supporting the show. Anything helps, whether it's a penny, whether it's a million pennies. it is always pretty much given back to you throughout the show, and it helps us. Everything we do, whether it's the stream, podcasting, it's always going to be free. Don't feel like you have to, but when you start jumping up in the tiers, like $5, $10, we start giving you a lot of access to the show, like behind the scenes stuff. You get B-roll of our interviews, the stuff we talk about before we go live with our celebrity guests. We have a little project going on with a couple of the celebrity guests, them voicing things they wouldn't voice. we give stuff away whenever this pandemic is over. We'll be live out and about. So when you see us, you start getting stuff for free. We mail out random things, which I still have a majority of what I'm mailing out. I'm building it, you know? So it's cool. I'm not even gonna, yeah, you know what? Here.
What do you got?
That's just one of the things that we're going to be sending out.
Cool.
Just once you start getting to the very top, you start influencing the show. We have Bocephus is one of them. Jack, you start getting, who else? Josh. You start being able to give us topics and challenge us to things like games, challenging us to things that we don't want to play. whatever it is, you are pretty much like a co-producer of the show.
Yeah.
We still have the challenge that we have to do. We kind of think we know what game it is.
I think we could tell them, right?
But we have to finalize that.
Yeah.
Unless I think of something
okay,
better.
Okay, then we'll
but yeah.
We'll get it done by next episode. So there you go. This next week, we're going to work on it. And Bocephus, we got you. Don't worry, brother. We got you. So, yeah. So, yeah, please do that. We would really, really love your support if you do support the show. And if you have a little extra cash, I get it. It's during the pandemic. There's a lot more that you'd rather probably spend your money on, but a dollar here, a dollar there is really all we ask. So we do appreciate it. So, okay. We have a big show. We got to get to a lot of different things. We got some Oculus news to kind of go into. Also, Kojima, new project. And I don't know. Yeah, I know. Right. Come on. And there was a certain Google Stadia tweet. that kind of made some, it ruffled some feathers. Let's just say that. So we have to get to that. So we'll get to all that plus more. But before we go any further, we usually go right to what we've been playing, which we will do. But instead, I'm going to introduce a special guest this week. Her name is Gina. She is our newest contributor on GameFixShow.com, and she joins us on the show. Gina, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yes.
You've given me a reason to get out of pajamas for the day.
Nice. Nice. Well, I mean, you could be in pajamas. We wouldn't be upset.
This is 2020, bro.
Yeah, be in pajamas all you want.
I need to look like I, you know, gave a little bit of effort.
Fair enough. What we got to do is let's take care of some stuff right now. First, happy anniversary.
Two.
I was waiting for someone to be like, what? I played the Arthur Morgan at the beginning. There's a reason for that, because 2 years ago, Red Dead Redemption 2 came out. Yes, 2 years ago.
Two years.
Think about that. 2 years. Where was I 2 years ago? I mean, come on.
Outside of your house.
Yeah, really.
We're so old.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Movie theaters existed back then.
Oh, remember those? Remember going and like watching things and then going to a restaurant and that? Yeah, that was weird. That's so weird. Another anniversary to Grand Theft Auto San Andreas came out today, 16 years ago. Honestly, I don't know where I was 16 years ago.
Ouch. No, I know where I was because I played that game a lot.
Yeah.
I played the hell out of that game, dude.
Did you play the game, Gina, San Andreas?
No. The first Grand Theft Auto game that I even encountered was, what's the most recent one? The fifth one.
Okay. All right. No, that's fine. That's fine.
I mean, the fifth one's the best one out of all of them.
Yeah.
I don't know. My husband was playing it and I would watch him play.
Fair enough. So it's not your cup of tea. Let's just go with that. That's fair.
No.
Okay.
I did enjoy watching him yank people out of cars, and he really enjoyed changing the music all the time.
Did he show you the hookers?
Yes, I've seen the hookers.
Oh, he did. Okay, I said that as a joke, but no, okay.
Oh yeah, no. The one time I was like, "What are you doing?" And he goes, "Well, I gotta go in here and go on a rampage and just like kill a bunch of people." And I said, "Okay."
Yeah, it's Grand Theft Auto. Do whatever you want. Yeah,
priorities.
Priorities. Okay, so and then one more quick one. Happy anniversary. 20-year anniversary, 20. It came out this day. That is October 26, 2000, excuse me, I was going to say 20-0 in this case, to the PlayStation 2. Yes.
It came out in 2000?
2000, right? That's
scary.
Really? I thought it was before that.
That's what I thought too, but I had to look it up, but no, it's real. It's real.
Wow, 2000, that was great. That console was awesome.
Did you...
That console, man.
Right? That console.
Free multiplayer... First PlayStation with multi, dude. I was up every night, like I am now, like up every single night, 2 a.m. playing SOCOM. That was all I played, yes. Man. That game was so awesome, yes. And Spider-Man 2, but SOCOM, dude. Right. Oh man.
Gina, did you play on the place? Did you have a PlayStation 2?
I did.
What's the game of choice?
Dance Dance Revolution.
Hell yeah. Remember that? Remember that sound?
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I love it. Yeah.
PlayStation.
Yeah. So that. Yeah. For me, I think it was, man, PlayStation 2, right? Like that. There were so many good games on the PlayStation 2, and like it's hard to just like say one, right? I mean, but then again,
well, I'm gonna tell everybody a game that I always tell people to play on PlayStation 2 since it's been out, and it's called The Mark of Cry or Cree. This game was the first game where you had multi-directional fighting. We refer to it as rhythm combat, where your right stick, a bar would come out. Once you touched it and pushed it forward, a bar would come out, and then you move it to sweep across the enemies. And as you sweep across the enemies, a symbol, a button out of four enemies, a button will appear. So then when you push that button, you'll attack that enemy. When you push that button, if that enemy is attacking, you'll block and parry that enemy or whatever. And there's finishing moves. It was like cartoon graphics, but gory.
Yeah.
There was stealth. You had an eagle that you sent out to like view the path before you. Dude, it was such a sleeper hit.
Nice.
Like it was just one of the greatest games. One of the greatest fucking games.
That's cool. I can't break it down into one game. There's no way. Seriously. I played so much PlayStation 2. There is no way I could break it down, but I will give you three. Okay. You ready? I don't know why I went with a letter, but let's go. Katamari Damacy.
Nah, didn't play it. I wasn't into those games.
Def Jam Fight for New York.
Never played that one either.
You will. Don't worry. You will.
I know.
And the third one, I think a lot of people might even agree with me. Guitar Hero.
I wasn't into that either.
Oh man. Like when Guitar Hero came out, like there was no holding me back. Like that was the game for me. I could probably put in Prince of Persia Sands of Time too.
Yeah, for sure, that game.
I can't even, like, and then there's God of War. Oh my God.
Yeah, so many IPs, like, started on that system.
So happy anniversary to PlayStation 2. So, with that, let's start the show like we normally do and what we've been playing. And Gina, I'm going to put you on the spot. You are the guest of the show. So tell us this week, what have you been playing?
Well,
we want to know about you. Who are you?
Halloween is coming up this weekend, and we have many games where you've got a lot of great Halloween content. So we are back into Overwatch. We played that game solid for like two straight years, and then we just needed a break. But the Halloween stuff is back in Overwatch. You got Junkenstein's Revenge. So we've been playing that a lot with our friends on the weekends, and I just really enjoy that they, you know, take the time to make cute little spooky Halloween maps. But the time the game I've spent the most time in is Animal Crossing.
Ah, relate. You suck.
Of course.
Oh, I hear now.
No, I play it too, so don't worry. I play it a lot, so yeah, you know, you're good. What do you like about Animal Crossing? And when if it's to a guy like Verlaine, if you were to talk someone into playing Animal Crossing, how would you do it? Because you're not going to, but just go ahead.
Yeah, no, I don't expect you. I actually, this is the first time I ever played an Animal Crossing game, and I think it was the absolute perfect game for a pandemic, which I know it came out in like, I think it came out in March or April.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And the sales were crazy. I ended up buying my copy off of eBay because they didn't have physical copies anywhere. And I wanted a physical one, so I found one on eBay for, you know, an extra couple bucks. But what I like about that game is you can play it at your own pace. You know, there's a lot of games where you feel very rushed into doing things. And, you know, I see that there are people that are insane and put, like, 600 hours into this freaking game.
Oh, my God.
And I probably only have 80 hours into it, which,
that's,
you know, to somebody who doesn't play video games, they hear 80 hours and they're like, I'm sorry, what? But... you know, you can just do it at your own pace and you can do whatever the hell you want. Yep. So, you know, I've spent all this time, like, putting all these houses together for all these crazy animals to come live in. And then I have another friend who she spent, like, 3 hours putting an orchard together for her trees. So it's nice because everybody kind of does something different. And then you can go visit each other's islands and see how things are set up. And then, of course, it makes you feel like shit about your island.
You're right.
Yours is just a bunch of garbage and trash everywhere, and people have these beautiful islands, and then they think that about mine.
That's right. So. Why haven't you weeded in days? Like what is going on?
Oh no, my weeds are a mess. Like my island really looks like shit. There's like one spot where all the Halloween content is out right now.
Yep.
So I have like put up all this great, like all these pumpkins and everything. I've been growing all these pumpkins. I'm right in front of the store and there's cute Halloween lights. The rest of my island just looks like trash though. So
it's okay.
You know, I'll just do it piece by piece.
Yeah, a little bit at a time. That's kind of the same with me. I just made a pumpkin patch, so I'm pretty psyched about it. I actually recently told Verlaine that I beat the game, and he was like, "Wow, you can do that?" I was like, "Well, the credits rolled because KK played at my island." It's dumb, but you know, I think Nintendo needed to do something with that, like how, because at some point you have to roll credits, so they had to figure out some way to
right.
What are you gonna say?
I don't know. It's like it's like GTA now. It's like everything. People like role playing, but they don't like necessarily. And I'm talking we're Westerners, right? Globally.
Midwest, yeah.
Americans don't. No, I'm saying like America.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're right.
We don't really get too much into role playing games, but they love to role play. So just like every game, even Overwatch, you see these custom servers. People are fucking LARPing.
Yeah,
they're sitting there and they're just pretending. And GTA 5 is solely like so big now because that's all people do.
Yeah,
they give you so much to do. You can build the empire. So I mean, I can understand that, but it's still like, I mean, I played games like that, The Sims, you know, and I don't know. It's cool. It's Nintendo.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm actually that would be one of the games that I've been playing too. Is there any other games that you've been playing, Gina, or anything else this week? That's kind of,
you know,
weird?
I kind of got back into Hearthstone
nice.
In the last like week or two.
You're really big into Blizzard. I understand.
I am, yeah. My husband and I, we've been to BlizzCon twice. One of the times we went was during our honeymoon. It was a really great time, and it's an expensive trip for us living on the East Coast, so it's not something that you can just do every year. We tend to watch it online, and it's been really cool being able to go see it in person.
Nice.
Gets you really hyped up and want to play more games.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's actually a bucket list thing for me, for sure.
Yeah,
I would love to go to BlizzCon at some point. Yeah. So, Verlaine, what have you been playing this week?
I have been playing The Avengers.
Dun, dun, dun.
I just went ahead and started grinding to get Widow high enough so that I can start that new storyline or new mission. It's kind of, you know, the Tachyon stuff. And I did, and I found the easiest way to do that. I just skipped everything. Like when I had to do a vault to do I was following, you know, the objectives, like the missions, but when I would have to do a vault, I wouldn't do the 15 question marks around it. I went right for the vault and just ended up getting the most powerful gear anyways. Like stronger than any of the gear that I would gather. The only thing I didn't get was all the materials, but you still get those anyways.
Yeah.
So I leveled up and I played this level, and it's unbelievably hard. And after playing this level, like I didn't want to play with randoms. Like I like playing with you guys, or I'll play by myself. This update has totally screwed, in my opinion, it has screwed the AI, because you have to play, I think, with three AI, and dude, it's unbelievable. They need to reprogram and do something, because they did things like if there's a turret or something in the sky, Iron Man and Thor will actually attack those. But wow, this is just unbelievable, dude. It's crazy.
What happens though? You're just saying it's unbelievable. What? Why is it unbelievable?
So if I go and just attack, say there's, you know how you can go to a guy before he notices you, and you could do a fatality, finisher, takedown. Right. Even if I wanted to do that, I can't, because once I start running towards someone, if Hulk's there, he throws something. If not, everybody else follows me and just starts beating up. So it's four guys. It's cool because they'll team up, but I don't need to team up on one dude.
It's so
I can't do takedowns.
That's exactly how I feel when I play with you guys.
Right, but
100%. So I don't know what the difference is.
Well, sometimes it feels that way. But the difference is when, here's the situation. I was low on health, and I'm playing this Tachyon event. And in the event, you deplete health. Just it's part of it. You deplete health constantly. You have to keep beating dudes up, doing takedowns to get health. Well, when it comes down to doing takedowns, once I get someone to the takedown mode, the entire team, I don't even know. I think I solely like really believe they teleport to where I am and just start beating the dude up. So I can't do the takedown. I can't gain the life. And I literally die because of that.
Wow.
Just like how the Hulk would always throw that boulder when we would try to attack one person.
Or he would always just hold it when he's just walking.
Yeah, and he would, anytime you went to attack anyone and try to get life or just beat someone up, he would just interrupt. And that's all it was. They weren't taking anyone down that needed to be taken down. Like if there was one enemy left behind and he kept shooting at us, no one would go back and kill him unless I did. And then the whole team would. If there were two guys who were in stun mode to be taken down and I take down one of them and the other guy's right next to him, they still just keep attacking the dude. I'm in the motion and doing the takedown. They're just still attacking him while we're getting shot from all. It's really, really like you can notice it when you play it.
Yeah.
If you played it, you would notice everything I'm talking about. They get in your way. It's just, I don't know. It's my fault for playing with the AI.
That's fair.
But it was, dude, I was aggravated, man. Like very, very aggravated. They wouldn't go for any objectives anymore either. I had to do every, like it was one of those generator things. You had to blow up the generators and then kill the remaining guys. I had to blow up all the generators by myself. And then I had to go around the whole level and beat up everybody because it seemed like no one was doing damage. You know how sometimes they'll ignore each other?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I don't know. I feel like, and you know, bear with me here, but I feel like you're getting everything you deserve right now.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And the reason why I say that is when we play together, I always have to do all the things and you guys just go and fight and do whatever while I'm
at least we're fighting.
Yeah, but
and I've started doing more objectives, but there's times where I would rather just fight and let that happen because you're going to, if we do that, then that makes the mission last like 2 seconds. You know what I'm saying? I level up. That's why.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
So I've also been playing, before I get to the big one, Marvel Capcom 3. For some reason, I decided to play it.
Look at you.
And I since last time I played it, they've added the these ridiculous skins. I don't even know how old they are, but they're new to me. So I like actually had fun like going through the skins. Like Frank Castle's Mega Man is stupid, but everybody else has like alternate skins, and it was pretty sweet. And then Capcom Warzone. Presents. Speaking.
Marvel versus Capcom.
I just had to play it.
That's the better one.
Yeah, that's the better one.
Warzone has their Halloween event going on, yes. And wow, man, I like it.
Yeah,
it's very interesting, and it's. You played it. How about you describe it?
Yeah, it's a twist on the normal Call of Duty zombie. You know what I mean? So, in this case, I think we kind of described it last time as the Flood from Halo. So
yeah.
So like when you die, you become a zombie, and then you go around and you have like these crazy abilities where you can leap like it's such a far leap that you can go and you go really fast. Although you don't have any armor, so you're pretty squishy, right? I mean,
yeah.
So but if you make two kills, you get these like syringes or vials or whatever they are. And that kind of acts as like the gulag and brings you back, right? But man, yeah, it's really cool. It has a kind of a creep factor. The Halloween, as Gina kind of said, you know, because Halloween's coming up, so you got to have something kind of creepy. And I think Call of Duty kind of they kind of nailed it. I really do. I think they kind of nailed it. Are you back playing guns?
I mean, as long as Avengers like isn't occupying my time,
yeah.
I haven't played any Squadrons, but yeah, I mean, it's cool. Like I'm down, you know, like I still like, there's other games I would play, but I'm not against, look, I'm not going back to Overwatch.
Oh,
I'll go back to Warzone.
Okay. Yeah. You see, Gina, you need to understand that Verlaine, played more Overwatch than anyone I've ever met. Okay. And you might say not as much as us, but I'm telling you right now, it's more than you. It's ridiculous.
Pretty much every time I listen to this podcast in the car, that's all he would say that he was playing. I'm playing Overwatch.
Okay, so you do
understand. Overwatch.
It's all he plays. So, but not anymore. Yeah. So at least it's good. He's kind of going in a different route. I like it. Anyway.
Well, Overwatch is so awesome, though. I like Overwatch as a game. Just
it's a great game.
Give me what 11 other people that I know to play and I'm down.
Yeah,
fuck the community, dude.
The community sucks. Yeah, or give me Overwatch 2. Let's do this. Oh wait.
I mean, look, how many years has it been out and they're still balancing shit. They're still balancing and reworking. Like, come on, man.
Yeah. Well, what's going on with Overwatch 2? I feel like they announced it and then it's just. That's it.
They announce it, yet you see all this work they're putting into Overwatch, nearly like pushing reset on a lot of characters still.
Right.
Yeah, I'll wait for Overwatch 2. I will definitely try.
Sure.
But I don't think I'm going back to Overwatch 1.
Hmm. Okay. Well,
that's
usually how it goes. Usually how it goes. What else? Anything else?
That's pretty much it.
Okay, all right. You say that with a weird like. All right.
I was thinking there was a mobile game, but I don't think I played.
Okay. I played some Warzone with you guys a little bit, and yeah, it's good. We kind of already covered that. So yeah. But anyway, I've been playing Ghost of Tsushima, It's still going. I am. There's no percentage, so I can't tell you how far along I am. As far as in the storyline, I have one mission left, which is cool. But I've been doing all the side things because that's what I do. I kind of play games like you would use a tube of toothpaste. I'm the guy that squeezes out every little drop of the toothpaste before I throw it away. So I kind of play video games the same way as you know, Verlaine, where I have to do all the side missions before I get the actual, like, actual mission. So I'm almost there. I would say I'm 95% through. I'm going out on a limb and saying I'm about 95% through. It's still fun. I played some Legends, and Verlaine, I'm trying to get you into that. But I suggest you to play the actual game so you can kind of get your skills up a little bit, because you're going to need those.
But does it carry over? Or yeah. I would think that we would be, well, then I'm going to be nothing.
What do you mean?
I only played the game for a little bit.
No. What I mean is, like, so you know how to, you know, parry, so you know how to do, like, the normal...
Just get a refresher course on the game.
It's be a bad idea to just kind of, like, play a couple of missions.
I keep meaning to download it. By the time I have my PlayStation on, we're on it. And if I'm downloading something, the party's going to be screwed, my game's going to lag, so then I just don't do it that time. It's halfway done right now.
Okay. All right. There was another game that I played on the Switch, and for the life of me, I've been sitting here trying to figure out what it was called again. It's a third person shooter, and it was free. I don't know if it's still free.
Rogue Company.
Thank you. That's exactly what.
Wow, that was a shot in the dark.
That was a shot in the dark, and that's exactly what it was. I did finally get a chance to play it. I downloaded it weeks ago, and I just never got a chance to play it. So I finally got a chance to play it, and let me tell you, dude, that game's really fun. Like, to the point where I'm thinking of maybe I'm gonna download that on, like, PlayStation or something like that.
I played it.
I haven't even heard of it.
I know it's on every console. I thought that I played it before.
It's pretty fun. I am not gonna lie. I don't think it's free on PlayStation Xbox, right?
It's free to play.
Oh, it is free to play. Oh, like, yeah. Oh yeah, then we should totally play it. What are we doing?
Yeah, if it's the game I'm thinking, yeah. Totally. Because I think I downloaded it too on Xbox.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Then we'll definitely give it a go. Yeah. It's really fun. It kind of has a what's the esports game?
Counter Strike.
Yeah. It kind of has a Counter Strike feel to it. Although it's third person, you know. But it's pretty fun. I gotta admit, I have more fun playing that than I ever did any of the other. New battle royale games that's coming out.
Is that what this is, a battle royale?
No. I'm just saying I've had more.
Okay.
I think Hi-Rez did their due diligence with this game.
That's why I didn't play it, because I was like, the first trailer I saw had no gameplay.
Oh yeah.
And then it was like by Hi-Rez, and for me, I'm not into anything Hi-Rez has done so far.
Okay. Yeah, Rogue Company.
But I'll try this.
Not too bad. Not too shabby. I was. I was surprised. So yeah, so we'll have to give it a go. Okay, now that that's off the table, let's get into some stuff that's going on. There is some interesting stuff. I think I want to jump right into this Google Stadia thing.
Okay,
I don't know, how do you guys feel about that? That's good, right? Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, go for it.
So I'm trying to get the article now. Where is? Oh yeah, here. So there was a tweet. Sent out by Alex Hutchinson. He's the creative director at SG&E Montreal Studio. Okay, and it was a little bit on the cusp of. Are you really sure you're saying this? Here, I'll read you the tweet. He says, "Streamers worried about getting their content pulled because they used music they didn't pay for should be more worried by the fact that they're streaming games they didn't pay for as well. It's all gone as soon as publishers decide to. It's all gone as soon as publishers decide to enforce it." He says, "The real truth is the streamers should be paying the developers and publishers of the games they stream. They should be buying a license like any real business and paying for the content they use. Verlaine, let's start with you. How do you feel about this? And is he right by saying that, or is he kind of barking up the wrong tree?
There are two sides to this. Yeah. Absolutely. And there is no right or wrong. It's something that is going to happen eventually, in my opinion. I've talked about it before, where some of these dudes who are, let's say Ninja is solely famous because of Fortnite, because he streamed it all day. Without Fortnite, he would be nothing.
Correct.
They would make so much money, and he wouldn't even play the game if it cost him in the beginning, when he was like, I'm going to start, you know, streaming Fortnite, and he had to subscribe to some streaming thing for Fortnite. Most people wouldn't even make it or even take that risk, because therefore there's a risk right there.
Yeah.
Any game, like, there's so many people that specifically play one game, solely one game, and that is how they captivate not only a stream base, but like even the gaming community, the gamers, the people that play that game themselves start getting hip to that guy.
Yeah.
But then there's the whole thing. Look, either way, if the devs were to do that, I'm on board. Yeah, absolutely. Streaming. If I can't stream music and you can't get famous off my music, you can't get famous off any of the content unless you're doing it yourself, because you're really like, you're doing nothing. However, you also have the people that truly got the audience because of who they are, because they are a personality, because, you know, they're the streamers that they play a new game every week. You know, like Angry Joe Reviews. If he plays a game, he's going to play a different game all the time. People are subscribed to him and not the game he plays.
Right. Okay.
You know what
That's
I'm
good.
Saying?
That's a great
now, Ninja has already proven that it didn't really matter, because like he moved over and he did not take all those people that they thought he would take over right. with him. And that's proof that people, you know, yeah, you're a fraction of the screen, a little bar with your face, a blocks with your face. Everything they're watching is what's going on in front of you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So like that's where like it's a very fine line, I think, but I'm on board. If they were to say, this is how it is now. Yes. The streamers, if it's a prominent game that made them famous, which you could prove, you just look at their backlog. If that's all they stream, then yes, there should be a limit. Like if you stream X amount of hours in X amount of time period, then you owe us X amount of money. If you keep it under there, then you're good, because that means you're bouncing between games and you're not solely like making money off one kind of community.
Right. Gina, where are you at with this?
So, you know, I kind of interpreted that tweet as he's saying he wants people to pay to promote their games. And aren't streamers already advertising your games by playing them?
Also a good point.
Yes.
Is it also like, you know, aren't they buying the game up front if it's a, you know, not a free game? So they did pay for it at some point.
Yeah. I mean, unless the developer or publisher like sent them the game, I guess that's
right.
The only
other thing. Yeah. Right. Gave them a copy.
Right.
But you know, I'm kind of comparing it to the way, you know, we would do an event at my work. You know, mm-hmm. we have a summer event where we show a classic 80s movie in the summer with, you know, outside with drinks and snacks. And couldn't we just bring in a Ghostbusters DVD from home, because we all have that movie at home? No, because it's against the law. So we have to end up paying a license to, you know, show that movie. So we end up paying, you know, a few hundred dollars to license this movie, and then they have to actually mail us a copy, like, even though we all have it at home. But, you know, I feel like the difference between that, between the movie and, you know, a game, is that a game is more like interactive entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, your gaming experience could be completely different from mine. Your streams could be completely different from mine. So I think on that side, it could make it, you know, unique enough to where it's not the same as, you know, someone saying like, you're showing a movie, it's already been created and it's not going to change, and you should be paying to license, you know, to show that movie. Personally, though, I don't think that guy should have tweeted it, because then Google ended up having to send out a tweet basically like distancing themselves from that, saying his opinion doesn't reflect, you know, how we feel. And, you know, as we've learned with people who just have access to Twitter accounts, they can just share whatever they want all day long. But, you know, you also have to think like, okay, if you're a public person and you have an account that other people are following, you know, maybe you shouldn't have tweeted that because then you piss a lot of people off.
Yeah.
But in Verlaine's comment, though, you know, maybe who knows? Maybe this will start like a conversation on the future of streaming.
Well, maybe you're right. A reply from his name is Jason Shearer. He's a video game reporter for Bloomberg News, which I'm sure Verlaine loves that. But he makes a good point. He goes, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're getting flack because you're picking this particular battle in a word where C-suite executives make $30 million a year and devs don't get royalties, so they'd never see any of that streaming money in the first place. I think that's a great reply. I think he's right on with that. And it's true. Like the developers only get paid their hourly rate, you know, or whatever, you know, their yearly.
Right.
So that money that the streamer would have to pay wouldn't go to those people. It would go to the executives. So I don't know, Verlaine, what are you going to say?
Right. So, okay. But that doesn't make it, it might be the way it is, yeah. But if you're going to go and change a quote unquote law where, you know, you have to pay, you're also going to change it all the way up the ranks. So that's going to change, because then once you're like, this is how it's going, the company gets the money, then that's when the devs and the union have to step in and be like, now it's our turn where we get this much more money now because they're streaming us. Secondly, I mean, you are working for a company, just like a movie company. The gaffer can't be like, I own rights to this. I was part of this movie. Like, I should get some more money. Sure. Like, you sign up for it.
The gaffer. I like how you just
use the gaffer as But, you know, it is. This is one of those fine lines. And look, just because the guy says something that a lot of people don't like and it sounds crass does not make it A, wrong, B, wrong. He can truly feel that. And it's not wrong of him to be like, look, people need to know this. You know, his concern wasn't the company and the devs. His concern was the streamers streaming shit for free that they didn't make. Yeah. That other dev company situation, that's a different situation, because then you have to get into the battles that are already existing where the devs aren't getting paid enough, you know, from CD Projekt Red, right? Cyberpunk guys.
Yeah.
Same thing's going on. That's their issue. Now, maybe things like, okay, tell you what, we're going to keep what we're doing. We're going to get this percentage of the game. You're going to get this percentage, but every single person who streams your game for this amount of time during this amount of hours pays you this amount. You guys get all, we will call them royalties. Something like that could work.
Yeah.
But people can't, like, and I'm always devil's advocate, but you can't hate the dude and consider him wrong just because he said something negative, because sometimes you have to say something negative for people to speak up. Yeah. Everybody right now is like, oh, that's wrong. We want to coexist. But trust me, in 5 years, they're going to be like, dude, we can't make enough money now. People are already complaining. The games are so big. How else can we make money without shoving advertising through the games or charging more? Streaming. The next popular thing to video games is streaming video games.
Yep. I mean, this comes in lieu of the recent, news with all those streamers getting their videos tagged or videos even taken down because they've used music or whatever, you know. So I could see that side of things, and I totally understand why that happened, and I don't understand why people or the streamers were upset about that. Like, they didn't see that, like, that was never going to happen. Why was this going to happen? There's, you know, but like, so. So with this, but yeah, I think you're right. There's a fine line, and you have to kind of walk it. But at the same time, there's money to be made. So, yeah.
Look, it's going to take one person to pull the trigger, and then it'll landslide. Everybody will forget this, and it will be the norm, or it won't. Because remember, they tried doing it with radio and paying for music. Sure, they do pay stations pay for music, but they don't pay for it like the artists wanted.
No.
Every time you play my music, I get something.
Right.
That would you'd have to create technology just to detect that.
Sure.
But that didn't work. So something like that, I don't know why. I didn't know what the ramifications of that case were, but there is a possibility that this, you know, goes on forever. It's just the norm.
Gina, anything else?
Yeah.
Nope. No, good.
It'll be interesting to see, you know, it'll be interesting to see what this is like in, you know, 5 years.
Yeah.
Streaming is still so new, if you think about it.
That's true.
And, you know, like, how would that affect, like, the, you know, the teenagers that are streaming and getting thousands of viewers?
A lot of them don't understand those rules, so.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no.
I mean, take, for instance, like, shooting a commercial and on TV. Every time that commercial's aired, the actors get a royalty. So, like,
right.
I guess at the same time, it makes total sense.
So who should, maybe the voice actors and the actors in the games can say something and be like, dude, look, you guys might want to not do anything, but guess what?
Yeah.
Every time they play this game, my voice is splattered all across that. I want a piece now because it happens if you did it on TV.
It's a slippery
slope. That's a good point, dude.
Yeah.
Write that into my
contract. Yeah, man.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Which makes me really, really, really want to be a voice in video games now. Like, if that's going to happen, man, I'm going to be, you name it. So, all right. I think we
and
can
then stream your own game.
It, right? Oh, that's all I would do, right? That's all I would do. All right. I think we're good on that. Let's move on. This Friday, there's a certain show that's going to be finally aired, a season two of The Mandalorian. Star Wars, I guess. Is it? Can I say Star Wars Mandalorian, or do I have to say Disney's Mandalorian?
I think it's Disney's The Mandalorian.
That sounds terrible.
I just or The Mandalorian.
But what I'm saying is, should I start it with Disney or should I start it with Star Wars? I guess it would
actually.
Be.
I think it would be. I think it would be Disney's Star The Mandalorian Wars.
It's terrible.
That's
awful.
That's how they did Solo, right? Don't they put Star on the top? Star something Wars.
Don't pronounce it like that. It just looks.
That's
like
how they should. It's America.
You're right. I'm not arguing.
Well, you know what this. You know what this new season means, right? The return of the Fandalorian.
And that is.
When we talk about the Mandalorian on the podcast.
Oh, that's right. Of course. I was like, what the hell are you talking about? Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. Finally, we get that. You know what it also means? That Microsoft is selling a brand new limited edition Mandalorian Xbox controller. Anybody, come on. No?
Mm-hmm.
It's only $160.
People buy it.
Only $160. So.
$160?
That's it. Just $160. Measly $160.
Oh my God.
I got the picture up right now.
You got the picture up? Okay. It looks sweet. I'm not going to deny
it. It's cool looking. Yeah. It's just like...
$160, man. Yeah.
It better be real metal, at least.
It's not. It better be Beskar steel is what it should be.
Or the stand is a charge. Something's got to make it 160 besides just the name The Mandalorian.
Yeah. It's special edition. That's what makes it 160.
Oh, yeah. Limited edition. Not a lot of them. Oh, but people will buy it. They'll sell
it. Of course.
And they'll make their money. And then they'll scalp it.
It's a limited edition. That's what people do. I don't know, man. Like,
well, it has a symbol. It's silver. It looks like his battle worn armor.
Yeah,
like it has been through some stuff.
It has its own charge dock. Ooh, wait. Does that mean?
And then,
does that mean it has an internal charge?
Yeah, probably. Oh. Well, the bat. Yeah,
for
yeah.
an Xbox
Actually,
controller,
it might.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. That doesn't exist.
It has. It probably has a special battery.
Yeah.
That it comes with, because a lot of them will have a battery. I mean, you usually use a battery that fits in the controller.
What a good idea. If only there were more video game companies that put an internal rechargeable battery inside their controllers more.
Yeah. However, the Xbox, you can plug in the controllers without batteries in them and use them.
And so can you do with the PlayStation. And
right.
So, yeah.
I'm not arguing. I'm just saying, like, you don't.
Yeah, but I'm talking wireless. No one wants to be wired anymore, Verlaine. Just us.
I'm always wired.
Just us because we're used to the wire. We grew up with the wire, so it's not a big deal. But I think it's a big deal.
Wireless kills batteries, man. That's even good. PlayStation.
Wireless.
A lot of times I'll have my PlayStation plugged in wireless.
Star or something like that.
Not to worry about it.
I don't know. Are you guys excited about The Mandalorian then coming up? I guess now that we're on it, we can kind of talk about that, right? What do you expect this season?
I expect us not to see a Jedi until the very last episode.
Oh, I guess he has to get there, right?
Yeah. Did I ask you who do you think is going to die first? Sarah Dune or Carl Weathers? I don't remember his character name.
Oh.
One of them. I think one of them will definitely die.
Weathers.
And it's probably going to be the one we like the most.
Carl Weathers.
All right, maybe.
Well, right? Then again, I like Sarah Dune more.
What does the actress do?
Sarah Dune? Sarah Dune?
Sarah Dune?
Sarah Dune. Okay, I don't know.
That's what I say. What does she do in real life besides acting? Isn't she like a UFC or
she's
something?
She's a retired UFC fighter. Yeah.
Oh, retired. Okay.
She was also in Deadpool.
Oh, yeah. You know, yeah, so. That's right. What's her name? So, Chucky Chuck.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, she's been in a few other movies as well. So she's actually pretty talented. Not gonna lie.
I don't know. We're gonna hear Yoda speak, Yoda. We're gonna hear maybe figure out his name, maybe, or he will just get a name. I think we'll get because there's already the animatronic thing that makes noise.
Yeah,
and he didn't make too much noise, and I think that we're gonna hear some sort of voice from him.
Okay. All right. Is it going to be reversed like Yoda?
God, I fucking hope not. That just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't, but yeah. Neither does Star Wars, but okay, so what do you think, Gina? What do you think is going to happen on Friday? Are we only going to get one episode?
That's how it goes. One episode at a time.
Yeah, right? It was one a week?
It's one a week. Yeah. Okay.
Wasn't it on Sundays last time?
It was a Wednesday because
the new movie came out that Friday.
Yeah, the first one was released on Wednesday. The second one was released the same Friday.
Yeah.
So that's how that did. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I remember that now. It's weird. It was weird watching a show like that where you know it is once a week because you're so used to just completely binging everything.
Just binging it all. Yeah.
It's strange. So it was weird to us watching that.
I like it because when it comes to the Mandalorian,
that will work out.
It'll work out really nicely. So yeah.
You know, it's funny because you know we had just watched season one, and right before the world all went to hell, my husband and I actually did a real quick week back in January, which sounds like 10 years ago, and we went to Florida. So we did a couple days at Disney and Universal, and there was so much really adorable merchandise. I mean, it was just the child was everywhere, everywhere, and it was all really cute stuff.
Of course it was.
I realized, though, that, you know, now as an adult, I enjoy buying, you know, BB-8, you know, pot holders for my kitchen instead of, you know, toys and shit now. but I really enjoyed looking at all that stuff, and you could tell that they were pushing the Mandalorian. I mean, they were pushing Baby Yoda is what they were doing.
Yes, absolutely.
But I really liked all that stuff, although I did see the, you know, the animatronic child that is coming out now. And honestly, it just gave me some creepy flashbacks of having a Furby as a child. And I don't know if you had one of those things, but they were annoying as hell, and they would like wake up in the middle of the night and just start talking, and they were demonic.
Yeah.
So I don't need the child in my house.
Fair enough. That's fair.
He could just stay on the TV.
Well,
Go ahead. Feel like we need to go back and rewatch that first season because I don't remember it very well. Like it was really so long ago.
I kind of agree with you. Like, cause I'm like, okay, what the last one? Okay, he had the robot guy. Okay, right. There's all these different things that I'm trying to piece back together. Actually, I'm glad you said that they're pushing Baby Yoda because, well, surprise, surprise, they still are pushing Baby Yoda and. Also, surprise, surprise, Star Wars Squadrons were actually getting DLC, even though they said there wasn't going to be any DLC. Although, it's not playable DLC, right?
Right. In this
just
game,
cosmetic.
There's...
cosmetic?
You get trinkets you could put, you could decorate your dashboard.
You could decorate it with a little tiny baby Yoda.
Yeah. Aww. And there's some other stuff they added. They added four items for each faction. So there's like you know the bobblehead, there's the hologram,
they call it dashboard flare. I like.
Yeah. I haven't even bought any of that. I just color my. No. I colored my ship pink, and I wear a ridiculous helmet that makes me look stupid. But yeah, this is good news though, because tagged on to this whole them announcing this little DLC is that they said that it was pretty much a surprise at how successful the game is.
Yeah.
It's a surprise at how many people like play it without VR, dude. People actually do this. Like, people that are into that game you played, Flight Simulator, are actually into this game, dude. So they're playing it without VR. There's people on PC specifically not playing it on VR because it's the same as like Flight Simulator to them.
Hmm.
It's crazy. But because of that success, not only are they giving us this, but that just that statement and them announcing how well this has gone and the fact that they have more Star Wars stuff happening does not take out the equation that some of that Star Wars stuff is with this game.
Okay.
Because the game is phenomenal. Like, right. If you're a Star Wars fan, like, you know, you're not even a huge fan, but when you first got into the X-Wing cockpit,
I was like,
it's like, cool. Wow, yeah, it's sweet. Where has this been?
They did it right. But I mean, with the more success of Star Wars, do you see a future where we actually get like a new playable ship, like the Mandalorian ship or something like that?
I don't know. I hope that they would add other. There's so many, even like just secondary, like not even hero tiered vehicles that they could put into this game. There's characters they could put. You could get characters and their vehicles and not have anything special about them.
Well, because we had the vehicles in Battlefront, right? So there was all these vehicles that we didn't really get in Squadrons. So there is so much DLC that they have that they could totally add to it. And they're saying that it's not going to happen. But
like,
I don't buy it. I don't buy it.
I think they need to add actual like missions, like iconic like missions from the movie, like the Death Star trench. Like, you're just it's a co-op campaigny kind of mission. You get to fight on Hoth.
I am, you know me. I'm not a huge Star Wars fan, but that I am in.
Yeah, that's what they should do. Like, that would be amazing. You just relive the battles, like. Putting like wrapping the harpoon, the thing around the AT-ATs or whatever,
yes,
to make them fall, like doing all that shit in VR.
Have you seen this game? Have you played it at all? I know you're not. I know you're not. You don't have any VR, do you? Maybe I'm not. I'm assuming, but I might be wrong.
I don't have any.
You know. Have you seen this game though? Have you seen anything about it?
No.
It's fine if you haven't. It's fine because you just. You don't have it to
get
play.
Out of
why,
here.
Why are you looking at it? Yeah, but but you are a Star Wars fan, right?
Yes.
Right.
We did get up at 5 in the morning to get to Disney back in January, so we could go on the Rise of the Resistance ride.
How was that?
It was amazing. It broke down, you know, 10 times while we were waiting. And then we were finally on the ride. And it's like a 20-minute experience. You go through, you know how Disney is, you know how a lot of those parks are. You're in a room and you're kind of seeing, you know, some interactive thing. And then you move to another room.
Yeah.
It's kind of how they move people through their lines, but keep them, you know, entertained. So, you know, we were going through part of that. And then all of a sudden, a bunch of people just came up to us and said, "Oh, you've got to leave this way." And we're like, "What happened?" Apparently the ride broke while we were halfway on it. But we hadn't actually gotten onto the ride portion. So, you know, it was a very long day, a lot of standing around and walking. And it was the coolest ride that we had ever been on. And it totally made it worth getting up at 5 a.m. on vacation.
But you did get to ride it then.
Yes.
Okay.
We rode it. All right. So we got up at 5 a.m. We ended up riding it at like 2 or 3 p.m., so it was quite a day. But it was really cool. The ride itself is the cars that you sit in are completely trackless. So you're not on any track. Like these cars are just completely robotic and they're following programming. And once you're actually on the ride and you're you know, you're basically trying to escape are you on the Death Star? I actually don't remember. You're trying to escape an area, and the amount of robotics and just movement of everything going on, I totally understand why that ride breaks down every 5 seconds, because it is the most complicated thing that I had ever witnessed. So I hope, though, because you got these people that were getting up and, you know, getting there so early and then not even getting a chance to go on it because you had to check in on your phone to get, you know, like a pass. And then it would tell you, you know, you're in this group. And then when your group was coming up, then they'd tell you, and then you'd have an hour to get to that area to go on the ride. So I feel bad, though, because people who didn't really research this park or understand how Galaxy's Edge was going to work, you know, if you just went there thinking, like, I'm going to go see the Star Wars stuff, and you get there, you know, when the park opens, or even an hour later, you're screwed and you missed out on everything. And,
yeah,
you know, you pay a lot of money to go to a park like that, especially if you're from out of state. So, you know, I do feel bad because unless you really look things up beforehand, you're completely going to miss out on stuff. So that's one of the things that I think is kind of crappy when it comes to some of these things, because it's such a crazy fandom that, you know, some of the regular people who, you know, enjoy this stuff, but they're not crazy about it, you know, they may not even get to experience it because they weren't willing to wake up at the crack of dawn.
One of these days I will make the trek out and go and do it. But yeah. Yeah,
it's really, really cool. Even if you just think Star Wars is neat, like, it's cool. I mean, like, I'm not, you know, an obsessive fan or anything. Rogue One, I really loved that movie, and I know everybody hates it, but I thought it was great.
Verlaine loves the movie. I know that.
I liked it.
Yeah.
So. Good. Yeah. No, I loved that movie.
All right,
cool. But yeah, like the original Star Wars movies, you know, I find them pretty slow and boring. I love the music. I liked the concept of it, but they're actually really boring for me to watch at this point.
No, that's fine. I kind of feel the same way, and Verlaine would be like, get out of here or something.
Yeah.
he won't say that. I like to put words in Verlaine's mouth that he would probably never say. I don't know why I do that. So, okay, let's move on from Star Wars. How about that? And go to the Switch. And I know Verlaine's like, oh, I'm just gonna listen to this one. But it was actually an article that Mike put up on our website, gamefixshow.com. And is a tech analyst. His name is Michael Patcher. So he has a lot of opinions when it comes to anything video in the video game world. And the latest one that he did is he says he doesn't really understand the whole hybrid concept of the Switch. So, you know, whether it is it a handheld or can you play it on the TV? Like, pick one. And he actually suggests, and he says I'll just condense it pretty much that Nintendo needs to get away from the console playing and go straight to just handheld. So they need to get rid of the hybrid and just sell the Lite. I sort of agree with him. Gina, let's start with you because I know you are big into the Switch. How do you feel about that? How often do you play it on your TV?
I totally disagree with what he's saying. I play the Switch on my TV all the time. And probably, you know, 90% of the time it is on my TV. I tend to play Animal Crossing in handheld mode just because we're home so much these days that, you know, I'm just kind of like bopping around the house. But back before, you know, when we were still going into work, my Switch was hanging out at my TV all the time, and that's where I would go. I'd go to my basement and play on my TV. So I don't want it to go strictly, you know, handheld because I think it looks great on the TV.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Breath of the Wild is a really great example of, you know, that game is way too beautiful to just show on, you know, basically a glorified Game Boy. So I understand the Switch Lite. I think it was a great idea bringing that out and, you know, having it at a lower price point for people. But for someone like me, I would much rather prefer having the option and, you know, I'm okay paying a little bit more to be able to choose, you know, how I want to play it.
Okay. Verlaine, you do not own a Switch yourself, but your daughter has one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. How does she usually play? Does she play it?
She has to play it portable because she comes here. Like, you know, she doesn't live with me, the one that has
okay,
it.
Well then at her mother's
so
house.
She's always, oh, I don't know, okay. But I don't think it matters. The fact
doesn't,
that I think he's right, because we had a little thing called the Wii U, which was the exact opposite of the Switch, and it failed miserably.
Yep.
Their last and most successful thing ever was portable, the 3DS. They have it on lockdown. Which that is probably why somebody would like analyze this situation and be like, that is the smartest business move. Don't focus. And look, here's the redundance of this. It doesn't matter anymore because those are already out. They can just stop making them. And you know what I'm saying? With the dock, fine. But the dock part has already exists. The people that have it already have it. So it's not going to change. What will change, I guess, for the next console. But if that's the case, yeah, if you get rid of the base, then you have a lot of room for a cheaper system, better system, more powerful system, and not having to worry about that. There are dude, I had a PSP, tried hooking it up once. It's better playing, you know, portable.
Yeah.
I have portable things that I could hook up to my TV and I don't, not because of, like, yeah, it would be ideal, but a lot of people don't, it's intrusive. And when people buy this for their kids, they're buying it specifically so their kids can play something relevant and not take up the TV. I mean, they can, nowadays they have multiple TVs, but reasons like that are already shown that like the 3DS is weird. And I don't know, Nintendo, like, look, the PS Vita failed. That's portable from a company that has the most successful physical system. So it's something about Nintendo, something about portable. Do it. Okay. Like that's, I don't think that there is a necessity, and B, like if you're gonna aim for people to play at home on their TV, make another system and compete with the big boys and have two coexisting worlds. You don't have to have just one. They went after the mobile market and tried to compete with themselves and that didn't work. They're done.
Pretty much what they did.
I actually
tend to agree with Verlaine more than Gina, even though that Verlaine doesn't even have one, because I have one though, and I'm on the other side of things. I play it 95% handheld, actually close to 100%. The only other time I ever put it on the cradle is to A, charge it, or B, when I first got it, I just wanted to see what it was like. And I get on there. I even bought like a Mario controller that you stick the Joy-Cons in, you know? And I was like, oh, cool. This is sweet. Like, oh, this is awesome. Mario, I'm playing Mario again. I was so excited. And then I realized I could just play it on the toilet.
Yeah, I think it amounts to when it comes to people
that phone is for.
Yeah. Well,
when it comes to people that aren't children, I think that a majority of those people, the adults that own a Switch, own multiple systems. And in that That's case, true. You're buying the Switch to be portable. In your case, Gina, you have a single system family. Why wouldn't you do that? But I assure you, if you were to go ahead and buy a PlayStation 5 or an Xbox Series X, you won't hook your Nintendo up to that anymore and play. You'd probably keep it. Whatever the reason may be, it might be because your husband, right? You're married. Your husband decides that he's going to play that system on the TV and you have to, you know, give him the power. Whatever the reason is, I'm sure that if you had more than one system, even if it's just, oh, I don't feel like walking and connecting this to the TV, I'm already on the couch. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think things would change. And I think you're just a minority in the whole
scope. Oh, no. I think so too. You know, the way you said, people are getting the Switch for kids to get them away from the TV, like go in your room and just play this. You know, we don't have kids. We do have two TVs in the house. We have an Xbox, we have a PlayStation. But overall, my husband and I tend to play computer games more. So if I'm just sitting and playing Overcooked on the TV with my friend online, he's just on his computer, you know, playing with one of our cousins. So we typically don't have that issue where, you know, he wants to play the PlayStation while, you know, I'm playing the Switch. But I wonder if, you know, after Nintendo starts to see, like, how are their sales going? You know, are they going to be making more money off of selling, you know, the Switch Lite because it's cheaper and it is portable? You know, maybe they'll head in that direction.
Maybe.
I think the gimmick of the separating controllers needs to stay. That is something that needs to stay. Being able to use it as a screen and mount it somewhere and play away from it like a Wii, absolutely don't lose that. That is what makes it. That's what makes it a Switch more than switching between the TV and portable. It's those controllers and the fact that you can take them off and play two people on one portable system that's never happened before.
That's a good point.
And wait, can't you not take them off on the Switch Lite?
Yeah, exactly. Switch Lite you can't take them off. So that's one, both gimmicks gone.
Yeah.
Both of the gimmicks for the Switch would be gone in that.
It's not a Switch anymore. It's just a handheld device.
Right. It's just a Nintendo DS XL XRQ.
Two things. Bocephus actually brought up a good point. He's right. He's right on. He says you guys are missing a huge point. He says Nintendo Nintendo has a market of two different markets, kids and adults who love to play fun games, not serious grinding gamers. That's fair. That's fair. I actually do agree with that because there's a lot of games that I own on the Switch that I'm not like grinding on. I'm just kind of like, you know, for funsies. I play that. And also in the article, thank you, Mike, I was eventually going to bring up, or I could have forgotten it, but either way, he's brought it to my attention. He actually said that they should make like a Fire Stick type deal where you could remotely play it through your TV. So you wouldn't need a cradle or anything. You could just plug and just kind of like connect it like
that. All right.
Which is actually, I think that's a great idea. I think maybe that might need to happen. Although that could be the catalyst that makes it an actual Switch for the Switch Lite.
Yeah, they can actually. Yeah, they can make just make apps for the smart TVs because a lot of them now. Like I have a Fire TV, and I can just it'll detect my Xbox controller or my PlayStation controller. You add that feature. I don't know if the Switch has that kind of feature on it anyways, but
yeah,
it would work for sure.
And yeah, it's just interesting. And also, by the way, the Joy-Cons are now $40 as opposed to $50. They've gone down. You guys want to talk about that? We don't have to talk about
it. I mean, my comment. Like really it's a 5-year-old system. I would expect something to happen with something.
Yeah, it's about time, I think, for something like that. So
okay, I have to say the crazy thing about these Joy-Cons is that, you know, I'm really active on Instagram in gaming on there, and there are a lot of collectors that, you know, I interact with. And these people are posting these photos with like 15 freaking Joy-Cons. And I'm like,
what's your Instagram?
You paid 80. Pause my game.
I just wanted to throw it out there. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. Yeah, these people are posting these photos with like a shit ton of Joy-Cons. And I'm just sitting there thinking, okay, it was $80 for that. And, you know, as much as I enjoy being, you know, a collector, I'm also an adult with bills and I work for a nonprofit. So that pretty much tells you how many Joy-Cons I can buy.
Right.
You know, okay, cool. You're gonna make them, you know, available for $40 separately now. Like that's kind of cool. I do have Joy-Con drift on, my left Joy-Con.
Are you suing? Are you suing?
I don't give a shit.
I mean, look. Eventually, if it happens eventually and it's not fresh out of the box, you have no right to sue because it's just wear and tear. We'll make that happen.
Yeah.
I mean,
but what if that's why they're cheap though? They're like, oh, we can't get rid of this, so let's just cut the price,
Yeah.
That would suck. Have N64 controllers that work just fine.
That work great, right?
Like it's a game. It's a game of odds.
They don't make them as they say. I don't know. Whatever. You guys can read about more about all of that on the website gamefixshow.com. Read the whole article. The quotes are interesting. You should definitely check that out. Also, on the website, apparently. Don't expect any more Xbox titles on the Nintendo console. So we probably won't see any more of that. Although we saw Cuphead, right? That's kind of like the big one. You guys can read more of that, that article as well on GameFixShow.com, as well as another one I'm going to mention, a latest retro console, the Analog Duo. Interesting. Verlaine, did you get a chance to read that?
Briefly, I'm not, I know about TurboGrafx-16, but I don't and haven't been a fan of NEC as a company. Like I'm not familiar with. I couldn't tell you the difference between that and their whatever they call it, that PC something PC.
Mike is in the chat room. Maybe he can shine some light on that a little bit.
The idea of it seems awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's what companies need to do, like themselves. Like Nintendo needed to do something like this when they released their stuff. Make it one console. All their games built from the ground up, so it's not emulation.
Yeah.
And the portable part, dude, that's $30. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So also, and I failed to mention, Mike will be putting out his retro reboot tomorrow. I didn't even mention it. So and what is that? He reviews a retro game every week. This game he will be reviewing this week is Makin' X on the Dreamcast. He says it's an apocalyptic first person perspective hack and slash action game made by some of the staff who worked on the older Persona games. So there you go. A little background. So please look for that. Like around noon, he puts it out. So please, everyone, take a look at that. Is anyone really interested in Kojima's new project? Does anyone care?
No.
That's a perfect reaction. Are you into Kojima at all, Gina?
No.
Yeah. It's so weird, man. I don't know.
You know why he's even... He is only has his status because when he was making that stuff that is equally as dumbfounding then as it is now, yeah. Like it was kind of okay in the hip thing, right? You know, kind of like,
oh, this is so crazy.
And now it's like you're not, there is no more shock and awe. We've seen it all. Like you have to like, I don't know, his way of shocking us throwing in pajamas in a war game is just, come on, man.
That's pretty right on. I mean, I did get through Death Stranding. I played it to the end because I really wanted to see what the hell.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I know we talked about
it. Okay.
That. Yeah.
No, you never told me.
What? No, dude, I talked about it on the show.
Really?
Yeah. You weren't listening. That's okay. It was really weird.
No, it's just, I don't remember.
You maybe just don't remember. Yeah, it was really weird, and I still don't understand what the game's about.
That's probably why I think you didn't beat it.
Yeah. No, I beat it. The credits
that's
rolled.
That's probably why I thought you didn't beat it. Because you didn't know what it was about.
Yeah, it's just weird.
So in any case, like nobody's going to give a shit about what he does. And it's the fact that he's going to say, okay, well, dude, I did fucking Metal Gear. Like, yeah, you and a whole army of people, you pretentious asshole. Like, big deal. Like, I'm sure the script you handed everybody, like the guys who funded this project,
like,
was definitely altered. Yeah. Like, this isn't going to happen. There are no unicorns in this. No.
Yeah. I don't know. All right. Well, how about this? Verlaine, you are very happy about this because it was kind of like mentioned, like, oh, yeah, by the way, because it really hasn't. We don't really know. The new Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales game. We didn't really know about like what it, the only thing we knew is that it was coming out on the PlayStation 5, right?
Yep.
Gina, do you know about have you played the Spider-Man game for PlayStation 4 yet?
I haven't. It's on our list. Every year we you know, when we take time off at Christmas, we've been getting a game and like just plowing through games
for
a week straight.
Put it to the top of the list.
I know it's been on my list, and we ended up playing Tomb Raider last Christmas instead. Oh. So
that was a mistake.
Spider-Man's great.
Oh my god, I liked it.
Spider-Man's way better.
Oh my god, I liked it. Yeah, Spider-Man's way better, 100 times better. But
it's on my list.
The reason why I bring it up, and not to just put Gina on the spot, but that's why I also brought it up. But so apparently, it will be available on the PlayStation 4.
Yeah,
I mean, I think out of anyone right now, Verlaine is probably the most excited because he isn't getting the PlayStation 5 off the bat. So, maybe not ever. Who knows?
There were
two things. Are, you aren't.
I'm not.
Yeah, Dave is. So there were two things that would have gotten me to get a PlayStation: VR and this Spider-Man game.
Yeah.
Okay.
So far they've said that, well, like what they're making it out to be is that the VR is going to be staggering. So we're still going to be relying on PlayStation 4 VR anyways, until the 5 VR is set and everything converts over and they figure out if you could even carry the VR games from 4 to 5. So that knocks one of them off. And then this Miles Morales coming to PlayStation 4 gives me zero reason right now to buy a PlayStation 5. It's a single player game.
Yeah.
However, it makes me wonder, they can't, I mean, I guess their track record so far shows they can, but I don't think they can be that stupid to take this game that, dude, this game is a console selling game.
Yeah.
Spider-Man got me to buy a PlayStation 4, just as Spider-Man coming out. This is, and they're exclusives for reasons like that, to make people buy the console, not just so they can have a game on, you know what I'm saying? Not to deprive people. That being said, there's got to be something that's coming to the PlayStation 5 one besides better graphics and no load times. And I'm thinking and hoping that it's co-op. There's because they have, this is their only title right now that they have that is going to get people to even buy a PlayStation 5.
I mean, I don't think that's right.
They have other titles, but this is the biggest title. This is the one that made Xbox people hate Marvel because this happened. I can't believe they would let it go because that also shows that, well, the game was made for PlayStation 4 and it's an upgrade.
I know. That's why
people don't like that shit.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping there's something bigger to this than just, well, there it is, PlayStation 5 free upgrade. Because then I don't need to buy it for PlayStation 5. It's going to be upgraded for free. So why not buy it cheaper on PlayStation 4 when games are $10 cheaper?
Yeah.
There's got to be another reason. There's got to be a reason they're doing this.
Apart from that, they just announced, it seems like games are kind of coming out of the woodwork and announcing things. So we haven't really heard, they say like what, 95% of the games will be upgradable, you know, to the next console, but we don't really know those games. There's still 5% that we don't know. Although they said Miles Morales was one of them, and now it's like, I don't know, it's kind of gray now. But the latest is God of War. Not only will you be able to play it on the next console performance mode, kind of you can up the value of the way it looks, but you can also transfer your save, which is good.
See, this information is the same information they fed us to get the Pro and the Xbox One X.
You're right.
It is them, like, this is a new system. We don't need to hear that I can bring my old games there. That's not why I buy systems. I buy systems so that I can play newer games. Like, I don't want to play my old, like, better graphics isn't going to make me go back to a game. You know what will? If you added VR to a game, like Grand Theft Auto 5, I would go back if they added VR to it.
But they have.
But like, just, no, they added first person.
That's right. Yeah.
But if they add VR, it gives you a reason to go back. And I mean, shinier graphics, sure, but I'm not going to play the entire game just to see shinier graphics.
Yeah.
I think that, I don't know. It's even on Xbox aside, like, ooh, yeah, they're focusing more on what you can bring over.
I got a real quick, Bocephus and Verlaine, you're probably going to be, you're going to say he's wrong, but I hope he's right because I've actually said this on the show. He says, well, the first part I didn't, but the first part he said, Miles Morales, Spider-Man will be in the next Doctor Strange movie. I could see that happening. But then he also goes on by saying Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire are both in it as well.
Tobey Maguire.
He's making a
no. Prediction. He's saying he's talking about.
He's just predicting.
No, what's not happening? What's not happening is a Spider-Verse in the Sony Spider-Man 3.
Right.
What is happening is a multiverse in Doctor Strange, the multiverse of madness.
Right.
Now,
right.
Andrew Garfield, I don't know. It could be, but Sam Raimi is directing this movie, so that's why Tobey Maguire coming back is kind of on everybody's radar. And if that happens, they're just grandfathering in the idea that if he's going to bring him, he might as well bring Andrew Garfield.
Sure.
Doesn't mean it's definitely going to happen. It can just go to that Peter Parker's world, because in that Peter Parker's world, there was no Andrew Garfield. They don't have to go. But I do think I'm still on the whole by this time, at least by Spider-Man 3, we are going to have our own Spider-Man. So Tom Holland may stay with Sony, and then we do get Miles Morales through Doctor Strange's activities in Spider-Man 3. But I think that's the purpose of him, is to give us a Spider-Man that is canon, not just thrown at us with another actor.
Hmm.
They want somebody from the MCU to pull somebody out of existence or into existence and bring them to the MCU. That is a Spider-Man. Otherwise, because that's what they do. They keep characters, and if the character is gone, the actor's gone, the character's gone.
Right.
Except for a couple in the beginning. So I think that they would never just... Tom Holland is making movies over here, and then there's just... They say nothing about it. Same Spider-Man, different actor. Right. I don't think they would do that.
Hmm.
We need a completely different Spider-Man. So yeah, you might be right.
Who knows?
I don't think Andrew Garfield's awful. Like, he's awful.
I didn't hate him. I actually quite enjoyed it. You know.
I liked him with his mask on.
Yeah.
You didn't know it was him. I mean, out of all the Spider-Mans, I think that he was the Tobey Maguire.
Well, actually, he sent me this picture. This is interesting. I'll have to check it out. I'm guessing this is from IMDb. It looks like IMDb. But it says Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, and the characters are listed as Elizabeth Olsen, Benedict Cumberbatch, Benedict Wong, Rachel McAdams, Tilda Swinton, Ryan Reynolds, Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield. Interesting.
I don't know. I don't think they would do something like that, because you could have just went to IMDb when the Avengers Endgame was coming out to see who's playing, new actors are there.
I don't know.
And that didn't happen. That could just be throwing everybody off.
It could be
a bunch of random names. It's possible. It's possible. And in that case, then fine. That's cool. I'm down. I just don't see a reason for him. I would love Toby. Dude, if Tobey Maguire was our Spider-Man again, he won't be. He's too old.
I actually like Andrew Garfield better than Tobey Maguire.
Oh my God, so do I.
Oh man,
you suck.
No.
Yes, 2-on-1. I like it.
It's a struggle to compare the original Spider-Man movies to, you know, more of the modern stuff, because it's just.
They've taken a lot out of Spider-Man, like emotionally. They made him a happy and not sad,
because it's a terrible life that he leads.
Right? Well, yeah, he has a struggle, and the struggle in the newest Spider-Man is, I don't know, does Tony Stark love me? Oh no.
Yeah, right.
Like, where's the struggle? Like, he already has everything, going to an awesome college.
I hope I get accepted by Tony Stark. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Right. Real quick. I'm actually going to put the link, in the messenger. If you guys are interested and you guys want to buy Cyberpunk 2077, obviously you don't have to, I'm not forcing you, but right now on Amazon, it's $10 less. I don't even know why that's even a thing, but it's there. So I just put it up there. So there you go.
They're having a sale on a game that doesn't exist yet.
Right. Yeah. That's why I don't know why it's happening, but there you go. I don't know if it's a mistake. I don't know what we're doing here, but it is definitely $10.05 less.
I wonder if they're going to give people that pre-ordered the game money back.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah.
Oh, those people are going to be pissed. We're going to hear about that.
Yeah.
If they don't, like, we're going to hear about people like, what the hell? The game's not out. We pre-ordered immediately. And if we would have waited to pre-order, we would have got $10 off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa.
Okay. Let's get to movies real quick. We're getting down to the end of the show here, but just announced today that it looks like Oscar Isaac, who plays Poe Dameron in Star Wars. I think Star Wars, right? That's the movie. Apparently, he might be getting his own show on Disney Plus, and he'll be playing Marvel's Moon Knight. Does anyone care?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Why do you care?
I think he's a cool actor. He's good. He's a good actor. And Moon Knight, though, I don't know too much about him. Like, for some reason, it's going to be one of those characters that's just original, and it's actually, I think, going to really be good.
I don't know anything about Moon Knight. Do you know anything about Moon Knight, Gina?
I've only seen him in cameos, so I don't either, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it either, but I do love Oscar Isaac. And it's really funny because this article that you shared, apparently he was in X-Men Apocalypse, and I don't even remember that, which is...
Who was he?
I mean...
Because I don't even...
Apocalypse!
Yeah,
he played Apocalypse.
Yeah, he was Apocalypse. Yeah.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. I saw the movie once.
I knew that. Yeah, it wasn't a good movie. That's why. It's good. It's fine. It wasn't really good. Actually, the only thing good about that movie was Magneto, and it showed how powerful he was. If you notice, real quick, I'm going off the side tangent, that he... overpowered every one of the characters except for Magneto, because he couldn't give him more power than he already had. So,
yeah,
a little tidbit that I enjoyed about that movie. But anyway, I digress. How about this? We're getting a sequel to The Last Starfighter. Who's happy about that?
I don't know.
I'm not happy about that. I honestly think it's a little bit too late.
I think it's desperate.
1984 was
30 years too late.
Yeah, a little bit. More like 35.
I think that's not the reason. 36, that's not what it has against it. Because Bill and Ted just came out, and I'm sure that wasn't a flop. People wanted to see that.
That's fair. That's a good point.
The thing that sucks about this, that why I don't think it'll work, is because it's based off of an arcade game, and arcades don't work anymore. And the idea of getting sucked into a TV or a game is totally 90s, and that won't work anymore.
Yeah.
That's how almost every video game movie starts. You get sucked in. Captain N and the N Squad, he's playing a game, gets sucked in. Commercial, you want to be in this game, you get sucked in. And, oh, I'm RoboCop. Like, that was just cliche video game, like, how to portray. You know, like, it is just, I don't think it would work in this time. There's no way. And then you have Tron. I don't know. I never even watched the first one. I don't know how successful the second one was. But the whole idea of getting sucked into a game that's not VR, it's not realistic. We want realism now.
You know what, though? I have to interject because the recent Jumanji movies were a delight.
Oh, I loved
into a game.
You're right. I loved the Jumanji movies. But still, when it came to the fact that they got sucked into the game, I think it only worked because that's how Jumanji worked.
Yeah.
Because you know what I'm saying? And still, that was still, when I was watching it, I was like, no way, they're getting sucked into a game. I still had the same opinion. I'm like, what? But everything that happened in the game, I mean, really, they could have been in VR, you know, on the side, like, meanwhile, at their house, instead of being sucked in, they could have all been in VR, and I think I still would have enjoyed the movie just as well. If they were trapped in a VR, and the VR got stuck on their heads, you know what I'm saying? And they couldn't, things like that. But, like, I don't know, because I remember The Last Starfighter, he didn't get sucked into a game, but he was playing a game. And then the alien, that weird looking alien reptile ass thing came down and was like, you know, you're so good, we need you on our army. So I guess that could happen, but I mean, that's not original then, because it's already happened. And it happened a couple times in movies back then.
Right.
Gamer is so good. Like Tron, you're so good, you get sucked into the game.
Yeah, that's true.
I think it's desperate in this case.
Okay. All right. That's fair. I'm sort of on board, only because I don't know. I think I have to kind of see what they're going to do with it.
At least
give me the trailer and I can give you a better idea.
You know, I think it would be better as a reboot than a sequel. No one remembers that. Just reboot.
That's different. But in the same vein, I'm really annoyed with reboots. Do something original,
right?
You know what, though, I could see them making it be more of a vague sequel, because I feel like the original movie, not a ton of people have heard of it. So, well, maybe if they're gonna make a sequel, they're gonna have to be vague about it.
I think, especially when it comes to like a younger audience.
Oh yeah.
So
but then you gotta be like, oh, what are the odds your dad got picked up by aliens, and then the whole world, like, at that point you would think every gamer on Earth would be playing like tournaments to see who's gonna be the next Starfighter.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
It's just a movie. Is it, though?
What do you think?
Is it? How about this? Not only are we going to have Henry Cavill back as Superman, but we're also going to have Jared Leto back as the Joker. Come on.
Yeah, I'm down. I like Jared Leto.
Good, good. All right. Gina, you in? You out?
I don't like him.
All right. Yeah, I'm with Gina on this one.
I like this because it's because of that Joker. It's a Joker that I personally haven't seen. It's the Joker that is directly influencing it's Harley Quinn's Joker. Yeah. It's not a Joker. It's, you know what I'm saying? Right. And that's what I do like about it. And the fact that if they did that, then it would, in my mind, keep things okay.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Well, like, he's going to show up in the Justice League. I don't even know what you want to call it, but it's going to be on HBO Max. It's going to be like
the Zack Snyder.
Which
you know what they're going to do? They're going to use all the footage that they didn't use that he was complaining about in Suicide Squad for that. But, and look, people bitch like, why is he complaining? But I mean, like, nobody saw him and maybe he loves the Joker. How, if you were a fan of Superman and they're like, hey, you're going to be Superman. Holy shit, that's awesome. And then your whole part is pretty much cut out. Like, it's like, oh man, what the, that's more like an insult. Like he got the money, but I think it'd be good just for the sake of continuity. Like they need continuity.
Yeah.
They don't even know how to do that yet, but they're working on it.
they're getting there, I think.
Maybe. They're getting there.
All right. Well, that's
because that could potentially tie it into Gunn's Suicide Squad.
Oh.
Because Harley is the only key, you know what I'm saying there. So if they kept Harley, maybe keeping the Joker, putting him in Snyder will get people familiar with the Joker a little more, and they might want him in the future movies.
Hmm. Yeah. All right. How about this one? Disney Plus. Apparently, there's a rumor that Darth Vader will be getting its own show. Do we need a Darth Vader show?
I mean, yeah.
Okay. Oh, we do.
We don't need any of them. Right. But a Darth Vader one, there's certain characters whose stories would be awesome. Obi-Wan and Darth Vader would be. But, I mean, they're saying this about every character. Like, you could take any character and be like, there's a spinoff. Okay, well, we believe it because they did want a fucking Han Solo. They're making movies without Jedi. Like, yeah. That's not... That's fine. Rogue One was cool.
Bosifus
it tied everything together, but
Boo to Darth, as Bosifus said. So he's not good with it.
Well, I think the interesting part is that they're going to, if this is true, part of it is that they are going to be bringing Hayden Christensen, who I think is awful, just as awful as Garfield, but he will be reprising some of the roles for flashback scenes and stuff.
Yeah. Which is good for continuity, but yeah.
Darth Vader is Star Wars.
It's true.
Darth Vader is Star Wars. Like, he is the most powerful Jedi. He is Star Wars. Everybody knows Darth Vader. Stories and all side stories that are canon, a lot of them involve Darth Vader. Like, Darth Vader stories are easy to be canon. He's just, even though those movies, I agree with you, Gina, like, the first... three movies made, 4, 5, and 6, they're shit. Most of the movies are shit. The games are good. The stories are good. The characters are good. Character development is bad. The movies are shit. But Darth Vader is Star Wars. That's what it's all, I don't know. He would be one. It'd be like having Magneto have his own show. Like, that's that's how I think it would work.
Because that's X-Men. Magneto would be, yeah, right? Magneto is X-Men.
Yes. Like, when it comes, especially the movies now, like, Wolverine. That's, they just, Wolverine. It was Wolverine. Yeah. Wolverine is X-Men, really, but yeah. Magneto when it comes to the bad guys. Sure. So I would love it, but I mean, I don't, I take it with a grain of salt.
Okay. Gina, are you okay?
I mean,
I'll watch it. You're if in. Okay. Something comes out, yeah. you are saying, though, like, yeah, Darth Vader is Star Wars. Maybe this is something good for parents with younger kids. Those kids aren't growing up with, you know, the original Star Wars movies. So maybe it's a way to, you know,
get them to watch
bridge
it.
Bridge the generation.
Yeah. That's an interesting point. Yeah. I don't know. I'm cool with it either way. It's fine. I probably won't watch it.
I would have thought they would have done that before The Mandalorian, before creating something brand new, which is fine. Yeah. Because I mean, just creating that altered a bunch of stuff that we already knew about Mandalorians.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. Okay. Disney Plus, go. Whatever.
Right, that's fair. All right.
It's all good.
Last but certainly not least, it looks like we're be getting a movie reboot. Maybe. No. It's a live action TV show connected to the universe of. Verlaine, you're a big fan of
Power Rangers. Yes.
I was trying to play the theme and it wasn't going for some reason. There we go. All right. Verlaine, I know you're a Power Rangers guy, so how do you feel about this? Because we kind of already had the TV reboot, which was meh. But what do you think about a TV show reboot?
Or
a movie reboot?
So if they do a movie, so the property, I guess, of the Power Rangers cinema form is a different company now. So when they're going to redo the movie, it's not going to be tied into this one reboot that failed and never got it. And I think that might be part of why they were able to buy it. I only like the first season of the Power Rangers because it was the closest thing we had to anything new that was like Voltron. It was it's a direct ripoff of Voltron, just making it. But what I realized after reading this article was that the merchandise of the Power Rangers is owned by Hasbro. And right now, Hasbro is building their own cinematic universe, which is going to consist of the Transformers and G.I. Joe. And I don't know what else would actually fit in there, but those are the two main ones. Power Rangers is my point. They're owned kind of by, you know, it's a Hasbro toy.
Yeah.
So that's what they could be going for. Just like who was doing it with the board games? Was it also Hasbro trying to do the board games?
Yeah.
They're still trying to do that whole universe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just like Universal is trying with the Mummy, the new Mummy, to try to do their own cinematic universe. That's the only excitement that I would get from this news. Otherwise, I mean, there's been many a show. Dude, there was an episode that had every single Power Ranger in it. Every single one of them. It was like a Japan one. It was like a huge war of every single iteration of the Power Rangers. So it's like those cameos aren't even new. They've done Christmas specials that had all the Red Rangers together. They had a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Power Ranger crossover.
That's true, yeah. I remember that.
So they're going to have to show people stuff or say, hey, man, this is going to be in the Hasbro universe, so they're going to be fighting alongside G.I. Joe when the Transformers come to Earth. Then I'm down.
Okay, all right. Gina, are you down with Power Rangers TV show reboot?
Sure. I don't know.
You're not into Power Rangers? Neither am I.
I mean, I remember watching it as a kid, yeah. But, you know, I was more into anime in high school. And I just kind of fell out of watching it. So.
Yeah, that's fair.
I am a little disappointed, though, when, you know, you keep seeing, like, you keep doing it over and over, and you keep coming up with new things, and it's like... Sometimes it's a little frustrating seeing it just over and over.
Yeah.
I have cats that are going nuts right now.
No, you're fine. You're fine. We ended the show anyway, so we're good.
That's why they need mouse-flavored food.
I made these catnip. I made these Pokemon catnip toys yesterday. So there's little Pikachus on them.
Oh, nice.
I bought a sewing machine during the pandemic, so I needed something to do with it.
That's fair.
But now they're just going nuts, so.
I bought a 3D printer.
There you go, me too. Yeah. but then again, she has a 3D printer too, so yeah, she's covered, whatever. Well, that's the end of the show. You guys, anything else you want to cover before we leave the good people?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Gina, anything you want to say?
This was fun.
Okay. Well, that's all we need to hear. Awesome. So thank you, Gina, for joining us. Everyone give Gina a hand. Yeah. Please check out her articles that she'll be posting on our website, gamefixshow.com. And see. What's your Instagram again? Pause my game. Yeah. And you have a blog as well, right? You can pimp your blog if you want. I don't care.
Oh, yeah, I do. It's pausemygame.com. It's more Nintendo-y, Pokemon, geeky, crafty. Talks about my video game themed wedding that I had a few years ago.
Awesome. Yeah.
So you know, along those lines.
Yeah, which I was invited to, but I couldn't go, and I'm very disappointed about that. I'm not gonna lie.
Know your wife was there.
I'm aware. It's so. Okay. Yeah, they were actually playing video games. So awesome. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, so that's about it. So, I think, there's only one thing left to do. And you know what that is? Brucey B, take us out. How do you do it?
Again? Goodbye. Have a nice day. Peace.
Love you.
Adios, turd nuggets.
You know, a lot can happen in 7 minutes, and luckily, that's how long it takes me to tell a story. My name is Aaron Calafato, and I'm the creator of 7-Minute Stories. I'm proud to partner with Evergreen Podcasts, and I'd like to invite you to join me on this journey. I'm going to take you on some crazy roller coaster rides using my unique extemporaneous storytelling style, and together, we're going to try to make sense of the world, all through the art of storytelling, and all in approximately 7 minutes.